At the weekend, Unite activists staged protests outside Sinn Féin and DUP constituency offices in Belfast. There were also protests in Ballymoney, Newry and Derry/Londonderry. Joining me now, Frank Shivers from the Northern Ireland Conservatives. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Kieran Cunningham from the Union Unite. Good morning to you, Kieran. Good morning. Good morning, Kieran.
Good morning.
Good morning. There you are. So what are these protests all about?
We took to the streets on Saturday to express our worry, our concern, and to a great deal our anger at the so-called Fresh Start Agreement, which in our opinion is set to inflict financial terror in the homes of the poor, the sick and the vulnerable. We sought to raise awareness of the danger, the real danger, and the real levels of poverty, desperation, the type of levels of poverty and desperation that we've seen across the water that has led to thousands, hundreds of thousands of families being reliant on food banks. That has led to a sharp rise in suicide rates that the Tories are doing their best to cover up at the minute. We sought to take the streets to raise awareness of the fact that this is a bad deal for the working class, it's a bad deal for the poor, it's a bad deal for the sick.
But it is a deal. It is a deal that the two main parties in Northern Ireland have now signed up to. Sinn Féin have signed up to it, and the DUP have signed up to it.
Exactly. And that's why we are...
Well, they have the political mandate.
They may do. We have a mandate as well. We represent thousands, hundreds of thousands of working class people across Ireland and Britain. And we took to the streets for 1 hour on the Shankill Road. Our brothers and sisters out in the Shankill were out at the DUP, and we were out at Sinn Féin on the Falls Road to raise a point. The business class have done very well out of this deal. The political parties have done very well. The working class are going to suffer. We were out to represent the workers. We were out to represent the poor and the sick, and we've done that admirably.
We asked Sinn Féin to come onto the programme this morning to explain to their voters why they're backing this deal, to explain to you, to talk to you, to engage to the with the unions, Kieran, through this programme. They have refused to do so. And we have many, many questions still for Sinn Féin. Why did you hand over power to implement austerity to the Tory government? Why, Sinn Féin, did you do that? Whether you come on this programme or not, we'll ask you that question. What about your pledge? Your pledge before tax credits happened that you would protect all present and future claimants. Has that pledge just disappeared, Sinn Féin? And that promise that you gave to your electorate, Sinn Féin, why has it disappeared? Because you told this country that you had to let that pledge go because of tax credit cuts. But of course, tax credit cuts has been abandoned. So are you going back, Sinn Féin, to the promise that you gave the people who vote for you? The people who you describe, Sinn Féin, as vulnerable. The people who you promised you would not let welfare reform affect both either present claimants or future claimants. And those, Kieran Cunningham, are the questions we have for Sinn Féin, which they're certainly refusing to answer in this programme, so much so that they won't even turn up.
Yes, I don't think they can answer them. The fact is that I don't want to get into a slagging match with Sinn Féin alone. The DUP fully embraced these cuts. Sinn Féin arguably capitulated to them, but the fact is that Sinn Féin walked out of Stormont House last year because the amounts of money in the so-called mitigation package that they had secured, they would have required four times that amount to even cover the shortfall that will come from these benefit cuts. They've now settled for more or less exactly the same amount. So they unfortunately have failed. And it's now over to the representatives of the workers, the representatives of the poor and the vulnerable to take the lead in opposing these cutbacks, and that's exactly what Unite are doing.
Yeah, well, Unite might be doing that, but what is your alternative? Do you have a real alternative? At least the DUP and Sinn Féin have sat down and actually, you know, with the most generous benefit system in the UK, because of them fighting, what alternative do you have?
There's always an alternative.
What is it?
There's always an alternative. This has been created, this situation has been created deliberately by the Tories. to cover for a deficit that their friends, the bankers and the business class, created.
So spell it out. Beyond you being in La La Land of some say
I'm
no.
Not in La La Land at all. Well, we have the facts and figures, and they all add up.
So spell it out. Beyond some simplistic view of say no to the cuts and hope that it'll go away, what's your policy?
Our policy is to go after, for example, the £5 billion a year in corporate fraud that's lost, a figure that massively shadows the amount lost, for example, in benefit fraud that the Tories are so fond of shouting about. The Tories have just committed to spending £100 billion on nuclear weapons on the trading.
But you do accept that Northern Ireland is not a state. We don't set our tax and spending. Stormont has to live within the funding allocations it gets from London.
Exactly.
And, what do you mean exactly? So that's why they've just done the deal they've done.
Yeah.
Stephen, well, can I come in there? I think it's quite important that we put a bit of this Unite protest in context. Kieran says he represents or he has a mandate for hundreds of thousands of people. There was 50 people turned out for this protest. But, you know, I think a lot of people are getting sick and tired of... Sorry, Kieran, if you give me a wee second, I did listen to you there. A lot of people are getting fed up with the Tories getting labelled with this. At the end of the day, in 1999, welfare became a devolved matter. Okay, Stormont had the powers to choose how much it spent in health, what the priorities should be, and how services should be delivered, as the UK government do in England. Okay, they have failed. Stormont is failing. It actually...
All right, so Frank's just cut off there. We'll see if we can get him back. Is Unite actually saying, Kieran Cunningham, that the Assembly should go its own way in benefits, have its own benefits system, pick up the huge bill for that, buy a new IT system? Is that really the way you want this to go?
I think we're looking at a bigger picture, Stephen. I think we're saying that the Stormont government, as it sits at the minute, has failed the vulnerable. It has failed the workers. We do need to build something else. We need to build a credible alternative, whether that's in the form of a new social movement that will stand up.
You can find the hundreds of millions for that while you have your little slogan, stand up to the Tories. You can find the money to build a whole new IT system, can you?
The money is there.
All right.
We have to build a new narrative to the narrative that the Tories have given us, this narrative that says there's no money. There's plenty of money. There's plenty of money for war. They've set aside £3 billion to bomb Syria. They've just spent £840 million bombing Libya.
There's plenty of money for Northern Ireland. They get more than England, Wales and Scotland doing a lot of things. They're identified as a special case by the Conservative Party. We get millions and millions of pounds. In 2019, it'll actually go up to £11 billion from the block grant on top of what we collect locally. So, you know, come on. There has to be an element of... there's a budget there. Let's work to it. We can't just print money and keep spending and spending and spending. Even no matter that, Unite would love to do that, I'm sure.
Soundbites. How do you feel about the people who created the deficit?
It is
soundbites. How do you feel about the people who created the deficit? The bankers, the business class, who created this deficit by destroying the banking system and then going cap in hand to us, the taxpayer, in order to get bailed out. That is what created the deficit.
What was the alternative? Kieran, give me the alternative to bailing the banks out. Give me the alternative.
Yeah, we could have invested the money that
was handed. What's the alternative, Kieran?
You let me finish. Okay?
Absolutely.
We could have failed, we could have refused to bail out the bankers. We could have done that.
Oh, brilliant. But of no banks, right? Okay.
What we need is to relook at the whole economic system. Okay? And attempt to create a...
Kieran Cunningham, while you're out waving your placard outside a Sinn Féin office, right, and a DUP office, so you wouldn't have bailed out the banks, so everyone's savings would have gone up the left, the economy would have...
That's a Tory narrative.
Well, you have this phrase, a Tory narrative. So if a bank...
Well, we've had a Tory narrative shoved down our throats for the past 10 years.
If a bank goes under, Kieran, if a bank goes under, what happens to savings?
I think the entire system needs looked at.
Right, okay.
What do we do? Do the working class have to go under? Do the poor have to go under? Do the sick have to go under? According to the Tories, yes, they do. We have to go under.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, Kieran, I'm looking out the window and it's raining. I can't believe the Tories have let it rain today. That's what you sound like.
The Tories and their friends in the banks have created this problem. They created the deficit, and now the poor are expected to pay. So there are mistakes.
Sinn Féin, by the way, Kieran, issued a statement in which they say they support the trade union movement in its campaign against Tory austerity policies. Does that bring you any comfort? They're supporting you.
You know, I don't think Sinn Féin wanted to implement austerity. I think if they could have avoided it, they probably would have. They are now, unfortunately, in a situation where they opened the gate to austerity. I don't think they had to do that. I think that they could have stood their ground more firmly. It's highly ironic that in the days following the Fresh Start deal, that George Osborne demonstrated that when put under the correct political pressure, they are willing to capitulate. And I don't think that it was the case that we know that the Tories hate the poor. We know they hate the working class. We know that they love the thought of implementing cuts on the poor. But I'm not sure that they would have loved it that much to the point where they would have let a devolved government collapse.
Sorry, Kieran, I'm working class. I'm a Conservative.
Well, that's a contradiction.
I know lots and lots of working class Tories. I know lots and lots of working class Tories. I know lots and lots of working class Conservative voters. And to be honest, you know, I think that I appreciate that you're trying to stereotype the Tory to fit in your idea of what you hate. But at the end of the day, we've got to get into reality. People need banks. People need money. People need jobs. People need education. People need a welfare system, which needs to be sustainable.
Which the Tories are out to destroy. The Tories are setting out to destroy the welfare system.
Let me just tell you, if they're out to destroy it in Northern Ireland, for each individual in Northern Ireland, it's £3,106 given by Westminster. In England, it's £1,900. So, that obviously creates
a decent society, I understand that a decent society isn't the top of the priority of the Conservative Party, but it is the top of the priority of the union movement, creating a decent society and a safety net for the poor and the vulnerable. That is arguably what we had previously. It wasn't a perfect system, but it was a safety net of sort. That is now.
I would have thought, Kieran, the priority of the union would be to safeguard jobs, to increase to help the economy, to get more jobs.
Do you have no sympathy, though?
Unemployment.
And there is no proof.
Do you have no sympathy, Frank Shivers, for the argument that Northern Ireland is a special place, given the conflict here, the levels of mental ill health, the poverty that there is here? Is Northern Ireland not a special case that your party, Frank Shivers, should be helping more than it is?
Stephen, we already get a disproportionate. What we get from Westminster is way above what the normal English or mainland UK regions get.
You call it disproportionate. Disproportionate. So we're getting too much, are we?
Well, if you lived in the south of England, you might see it as disproportionate.
Yeah, but you don't live in the south of England, so do you think it's disproportionate?
No, but I live in the UK, and I think certainly the unions call for a fair system. Well, if it's a fair system,
so Northern Ireland Tory policy is we get too much money, is it?
No, we're treated as a special case. Quite rightly, we're treated as a special case.
Well, then it's not disproportionate, then.
Well, it's disproportionate if you live in the south of England.
You don't.
I know, but a lot of people do. We're part of the UK.
Well, you used the word, so is it disproportionate or not?
Well, it's seen as a special case, Stephen. So we get more money from Westminster. Whether you want to call it disproportionate or whether you want to call it
more... I didn't call it anything. You did.
Well, disproportionate is maybe not the right term, but it's certainly more than what other regions get in a lot of things. We get nearly £11 billion from Westminster up and above what we collect locally in taxes.
Okay.
And that's a big sum.
Here's Heather in North Belfast. Morning, Heather.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what's making me very angry. Frank, you say you're working class. I'm working class too. I am a totally blind person, and so is my husband. We have never asked for anything in our lives. My husband has worked for 45 years. I have worked when I've been able to get work and will do so again if I could get a job, but I can't. I'm 53 years old. What is happening is this. There's talk of people being moved to personal independence payments. We are going to have to go to a tribunal eventually to prove something that is totally obvious. We are both totally blind. We're 100% blind. You can't get any blinder than that. Why should we have to go to a tribunal to prove this?
Okay.
Can you just hold on a wee second? Our disability is never going to go away. We're going to have this disability with us until we're in our coffins. Disabled people like myself have fought long and hard to get the DLA to help us to lead as normal a life as possible under extremely difficult circumstances.
Well, maybe Stormont will be able to shape a local assessment process, Heather. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
See, I'd just like to say that we, the people, the ordinary people here, have been sold a pup by the two main parties. So they've given the rich more money, £300 million, going to reduce the corporation tax. What we get back for that? We get 0 hour contracts and small wages. Well, honestly, darling, now you got a caller on there and was asking what alternative was there for the banks, or to bail the banks out. Honestly, darling, was quite prepared to let the banks go down and start all over again.
Tony in Lagmore. Morning, Tony.
Morning, Stephen. If you look at the austerity measures that's been brought out in England, and no doubt the British government will actually enforce them here, look at the soup kitchens and look at the food banks. You know, do we really see that in our streets? And there's actually food banks planning to open here. That's how bad people are actually thinking that it's going to go here. And also, I'd like to confirm also the other person's comments about the banks. There is subsidy for people who have money in the banks. You said people would lose their money. They don't. There is an insurance cover by government that people would get 80 to 90% of their savings back. So okay, people wouldn't have lost that way. Not only that, it wouldn't have been all the banks that would have failed. There would have been a few banks failed. And the government could have done what they did anyway. They could have opened up their own banks. Right?
Okay. All right, Tony, thank you for that. I don't really want to concentrate on the banks today. I want to concentrate on Unite the Union. There's a contradiction, Kieran Cunningham. You're still there, right?
Yeah.
There's a contradiction here in position, if you like. Sinn Féin, again, they won't come on. They won't explain themselves in this programme by coming on and speaking to you or speaking to the people who vote for them. They just won't do it. But they have said in a three-line statement, Sinn Féin will continue to remain engaged with and work closely with the leadership of Unite the Union in Ireland. So they're saying that they will work closely with your union, and yet you're standing outside their offices protesting against them. Why are you picking on Sinn Féin?
We're not picking on Sinn Féin at all. I don't think that's the case. We were standing outside the DUP offices as well on the Falls Road. I think Sinn Féin were in a difficult position. They're over a barrel. The fact is, though, they opened the gates to these cuts, and we had no option other than to take to the streets on behalf of the poor, the vulnerable, and the sick. We wanted to do that in a way that would create the largest public awareness that we possibly could. And the natural place to go was outside the doors of the two main political parties responsible. It wouldn't have mattered if it had been, it wouldn't have mattered what party it was. It just happened that it was Sinn Féin and the DUP, and that's where we had to be.
Well, they've actually, to be fair to Sinn Féin, they've actually given more than a three-line statement. I found another statement here, which is slightly longer. It's clear, says Declan Kearney, Sinn Féin National Chairperson, there's growing cross-community opposition to Tory austerity. Well, why then, Sinn Féin, did you hand power to the Tories to implement welfare reform in Northern Ireland? If there's cross-community opposition, that's one of the questions, Sinn Féin, you should be on this programme to answer. They say a broad-based, inclusive campaign is needed involving all sections of society, trade unions, churches, community and voluntary organisations to oppose the damage being done to our welfare system. Sinn Féin supports the trade union movement. I've read that. The collective focus of all protest action should be against those responsible for the austerity crisis in the north. That means directing united opposition against the Tory government in London. Well, have they not got a point there, Kieran Cunningham?
I would certainly agree that we that we need a new social movement to face down the Tories and to face down the Tory attempts to destroy the fabric of the welfare state and the fabric of the post-war society, and which created at least a minimum level of rights and entitlements for ordinary citizens.
It has.
We certainly do need such a movement. But it needs to be a fighting movement, Stephen. We have seen over the past number of years that the type of opposition the Tories need to face is a united opposition with teeth.
What do you want? Do you want direct rule back?
Do you know what? I think...
Or your socialist revolution, is that your answer?
Well, we could get into that debate. But
I don't think he knows what he wants, Stephen, to be honest. But that statement from Sinn Féin, Stephen, is a direct avocation of or abdication of the responsibilities of their devolved government. They're in a devolved government. They have the rights and they have the political clout to do what they need to do in welfare, in education, in the economy in Northern Ireland. For them to turn around and say that, you know, to fight against the Tory cuts, no, it's a budget. It's a monetary budget that Stormont are given. How they divide that and what they do with that budget is entirely up to Stormont. It's a devolved matter. So, you know,
well, the budget's being cut. That's the point. It's being squeezed by your mates in London.
Well, then ask me, or tell me then, Stephen, Richard Pengelly, several hundred million pounds. He was a senior civil servant in the Department of Finance in 2011. 300 million pounds returned to Westminster because it was underspent. Housing Executive, 35 million underspent. DSD, 31 million underspent.
It's a fact that the block grant's being squeezed. You're getting into accounting issues now. I don't have the figures in front of me. But the block grant is being squeezed.
The money's not being spent, and they're saying they don't have enough money. I would imagine that any money that they do have would be spent on proper things like welfare.
Kieran
like
Cunningham,
education.
I have another question for you, Mr. Cunningham. It's been suggested that people linked to Republican splinter groups are latching on to these protests outside Sinn Féin offices and DUP offices, groups opposed to Sinn Féin and the peace process. Are you, for instance, involved in any of these groups?
Oh, I think that that argument's a nonsense. Our protests were cross-community events, Stephen. They were quite deliberately and quite conscious.
Are you the same Kieran Cunningham who was interviewed in the Belfast Telegraph last year as a member of the Republican Network for Unity?
I am, and it's irrelevant, Stephen. No way.
You're still in that organisation, are you?
No, I'm not.
You've left it, have you?
It doesn't take away. I'm not here to talk about that, Stephen.
Have you left it or are you still in it?
Stephen, I'm here to talk about I've been a benefits advisor for 10 years all across the North.
Are you in the RNU or not?
No, I'm not. But anyway, Stephen, I've been a benefits advisor for 10 years and fully aware of the impact that these cuts are going to have on vulnerable families. Heather put it quite right there. The transition from the BLA over to the new PIP system is set to inflict financial terror on the most vulnerable here. It is set to strip vulnerable families of vital levels of income. It will create hunger in the homes of the poor. It will create, we will see children go cold, we will see children go hungry, we will see children without shoes in their feet. That is the reality of these cuts.
But so that I'm
that
clear.
Your speaker from the Tory party is determined to gloss over.
But so that I'm clear, Kieran, just to clear up a couple of questions for me, Unite have put you up as their spokesperson, correct? Okay.
Unite is a grassroots working class union.
Fine, but you're their spokesperson this morning. You're the same Kieran Cunningham who spent time in prison a decade ago for intelligence gathering while working at the Royal Victoria Hospital. Do you regret what you did?
I'm not here to talk about that.
You said in the Belfast Telegraph interview, no, you didn't regret what you did.
Stephen, I'm not here to talk about that.
Would you do it again? Would you do it again?
I came here to talk about the impact of benefit cuts on the vulnerable.
Yeah, well, no, we need to know what you're made of if you're standing outside a Sinn Féin
I'm a grassroots
office protesting against them.
Working class. I'm a grassroots working class.
Are you against the peace process?
I'm a trade unionist. Stephen, I will not let the debate here be deflected into what my personal political path is.
Well, you see, it's relevant, Kieran. Here's the reason why it's relevant. Because critics might suggest that what you're actually trying to do is damage Sinn Féin as a political motive, which is why the question is relevant. Are you against the peace process?
Critics might ask that, Stephen, but that isn't the case. My priority is the building of a non-sectarian, cross-community, working-class alternative to Tory austerity. That is what's needed.
So you don't have an agenda against Sinn Féin?
No. No, I don't. I can't put it more plainly than that. My agenda is to build a working-class, cross-community, non-sectarian alternative to Tory cuts, to Tory austerity. I have many good friends and activists right across the peace wall from where my house is on the Shankill who feel exactly the same, with various histories, with various coloured histories that they may regret or may not regret. But the one thing that we share in common is we're determined to build a new social movement, a non-sectarian, an anti-sectarian social movement. And Unite are leading the way in doing that.
Here's Daniel Banger. Morning, Daniel.
Hello there. I'm just slightly confused why Northern Ireland feels it's that much of a special case. It already gets more per head than any other devolved power. Scotland gets less. Wales gets less. And England gets less. Anyone who lives in England gets about half what someone in Northern Ireland gets. It's cuts to benefits. Everyone else has gone through it. Why do we feel we should have our own system? The world has moved on. Stop complaining about benefits, get off your arse and get a job. Then you wouldn't need benefits.
Yeah, because some people on benefits aren't working, right?
Exactly. You know,
No. Sorry, Daniel. No, I was saying on tongue in cheek. Maybe you should school yourself up slightly better. So some people who are on benefits are, to use your words, off their arse working for a start. Other people on benefits would love to be working and can't, either through a disability or they can't get a job.
I'm talking about people who are sitting on their arse. People I went to school with.
Let's refine the language slightly. It's half nine in the morning.
Sorry. People are sitting doing absolutely nothing with their lives. I'm not talking about people who are on disability, who are unable to work. I'm talking about people who are fit and healthy and have just decided not to work. Those are the people who are causing a need to reduce the bill. It's like your own personal bill. If you've got more going out than you've got coming in, you need to cut somewhere. Why does everyone believe that the government should just print and print and print more money until there's enough to cover the bill? It becomes a point...
What do you do for a living?
Where I work.
What do you do?
I knock doors for a living. So I got off and I got a job. It's not the greatest job in the world, but it pays the bills. So I'm out in all weathers, so I've got a job, so what? It doesn't make a difference. At least I'm not sitting expecting someone to pay for me. The benefit system was built for when people needed it. So if someone has a disability, it's there to help them. Or if someone physically can't work, it's there. It's being abused by people who just don't want to work.
And Daniel, I would argue that the reform coming in will help those people, will help the needy. And we'll put the greedy under a microscope and say, listen, do you really need this benefit? Can you go out and get a job? And that will release more money for the people who genuinely need benefits and who are sick or whatever their benefit situation may be, but are genuine benefit cases. In Northern Ireland, we have 207,000 people on DLA of a population of 1.9.
Exactly. So there's 20% of the people doing nothing for this.
Very quickly, Kieran, go ahead, very quickly. Yeah.
In 2012, the University of Ulster carried out a world mental health survey in which they found that two-thirds of adults in the north here experienced one or more traumatic events, right? The report also found that 40% of adults had a conflict-related experience and that this contributed to higher levels of post-traumatic stress disorder in the north. The levels of PTSD and depression related to the conflict are directly responsible for the higher levels of BLA claimants here. That is a historical legacy, which if we were to have a decent society, we needed to address. That explains the higher rates of BLA. People throwing out these narratives about the lazy and the factlessness, this narrative...
So we're now back to blaming everything your troubles. The troubles ended before the majority of people in this generation were born, so we can't blame the troubles forever.
If you understand the nature of depression, which many people in DLA do, you will know that it isn't something that goes away overnight.
Go on, Daniel.
How long are we going to blame the troubles? When we get to 2050, is it still going to be the fault of the troubles? The troubles finished. The world has moved on.
Okay.
We can't blame this crutch of the troubles forever.
Frank, thank you very much. Kieran Cunningham, thank you. Daniel, thank you. 03030 80 55 55 is the number to call. So the Union Unite outside Sinn Féin and DUP offices protesting about their support for, well, they've transferred powers to Westminster to cut welfare reform.